This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Tonight we are the three neighbors. Sheikh Yasir Bajas, the one, the only, the chef, the sheikh, is with us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. My neighbor, my colleague, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And we're all within a 10-minute vicinity, but like Sheikh Yasir is literally like down the street. So, Hayakullah Sheikh Yasir, it's good to have you on.
Allah barak fiyak, inshallah ta'ala. Next time, inshallah, we'll do it from my office here.
Yeah. And Sheikh Yasir is not on a green screen. That's like actually the wall, mashallah. There's like nothing behind you.
Keep it simple. That's Apple style.
Mashallah. No. Mashallah. I know the question is lingering right now. I mean, being that you're all our neighbors. So, Sheikh Omar, is that Sheikh Yasser's vest? Because you wore that on the Muhammad series. I know this is a question. I say y'all are neighbors, so I know everyone's asking, is that whose vest is it, Sheikh? Y'all both.
Right. So I'll tell you the story about the vest, and then we'll get started, inshallah. So,
but I attest, I didn't give it to him, actually.
That's not Sheikh Yasser's vest. That is Sheikh Yasser's style. It's not his vest.
Okay.
I wasn't going to wear the vest for the Meeting Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recordings, but then I wore it for a nikah. Someone gave it to me for a nikah, and I said, this looks pretty good. And it was the same day as we were starting recording. I said, you know, I'm going to keep it. And then Sheikh Yasir saw me that day, and he said, you stole my style. So I just put it back on the rack, and I'm like, okay, Sheikh, sorry, I'm not going to do it again. So
It's all right. I can give you permission, inshallah. For this.
But no one wears it better than Sheikh Yasir, even if they wear it.
Astaghfirullah. It looks amazing on you, mashallah, as well.
Have you seen his? He has the tan on tan one, mashallah. The tan vest and the tan thobe. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Mashallah, tabarakallah.
Sheikh, I would love to gift you one, but mashallah, tabarakallah, you probably require maybe XX love, Yani.
Cut it out.
All right, Bismillah. On a double face palm, you got a double face palm. That's like the first time in history, Sheikh. So, inshallah, on that note, we'll get started with Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we're in Juz 11. Tabarakallah, and Ramadan is moving fast. So Juz 11 means we're officially now in the second third of Ramadan. We completed Surah At-Tawbah, or the beginning of Surah At-Tawbah. Of course, in Juz 11, you will notice that you still have some of the continuation, and then you get into Surah Yunus and to Surah Hud. So inshallah ta'ala, I think the majority of what we're going to be spending time with, because it's the bulk of this Juz, is actually Surah Yunus. And it is a powerful surah, subhanAllah, that takes us back to a Meccan climate. So now you're seeing us transfer from Medina to Mecca in terms of the themes of the Quran that are coming towards us. And of course, it's almost as if, and I know we elaborated on this last year, and it's in your companion reader of the Quran 30 for 30 ebook. It's like, you know, just when you're starting to get complacent, you move on to this. Just when you are settled in the community feel of Medina and some of the context of that community in Medina, you get back to the creed that was being emphasized in Mecca and lived in every way throughout Medina. So this is Meccan Quran once again. And the verses, according to the Mufassirun of Surah Yunus, were revealed over Mecca. So over a span of the period of Mecca. So it's not one particular time period. But you can actually find that there were different verses that were revealed at different times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca. Now, of course, I'm going to focus on just some of the relationship to the seerah, inshallah, and then I'm very excited to hear the insights of Sheikh Abdullah and Sheikh Yasir. But if you go to verse 10 and realize that the stories of the prophets are being given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to affirm him in these moments where he is facing the rejection that those prophets faced as well. And so you find in verse 16 of Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِّن قَبْلِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Tell them that had Allah willed, I would not have been the one to recite the Quran to you, nor would Allah have informed you of it. And I have spent a lifetime among you before this. I've spent a whole, you know, لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا means I literally spent a lifetime amongst you. 40 years I lived amongst you, and you know who I am. You know, you have praised my akhlaq, you've praised my characteristics. You know me as as-sadiq al-amin, as the honest and truthful one. And now you're acting like you don't know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now you're calling him names. Now you're accusing him of sorcery. Now you're accusing him of wanting to divide the community. It's not like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is an unknown person to you. It's not like he's an outsider. By your testimony, he is who he is, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in terms of his character. And this is something that we also can see, by the way, in the story of Salih alayhi salam that also comes up in Surah Hud, where Thamud says to Salih, Thamud says to Salih alayhi salam as they rejected him, innaka, you know, qad kunta fina marjuan qabla hadha, that, oh Salih, we used to see you as a noble person, we used to see you as a person we had high hopes in, right? You were an intelligent person, a brilliant person, a person who offered so much to his people. So, you know, you see this this parallel here with this verse with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is mentioning alayhi salatu wasalam, or rather he's being told to mention, you know, if it wasn't me, then who would you rather it be, right? Who would you rather it be amongst the people? Is it just tribal reasons? And am I really unknown to you, to where you don't trust me to deliver you this message as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent it to me? How did all of those characteristics suddenly go out of the window for you when you said as-sadiq al-amin, the honest and the trustworthy one, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the Quran? And the same thing with Salih alayhi salam, when they mocked him and said, you used to be good, but then this message has ruined you. So, you know, this is a reminder to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that their hatred of you is irrational. It's not founded in any reason. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. They're not thinking properly. And it's about the message, and it's not about you. It's not about any deficiency in your character, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's some other incidents in the seerah, just quickly. One of them, a beautiful verse in the Quran here in Surah Yunus as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. For those who believe is, al-husna is excellence and more. Excellence and more. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was once giving a khutbah, and he said, I remembered when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us what this verse means, because they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we understand lilladhina ahsanu al-husna, that for those who excel is excellence in return. We understand that means Jannah. Al-husna is Jannah. But what's more than Jannah? So he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a caller call out to the people of Jannah, بِصَوْتٍ يَسْمَعُ أَوَّلَهُمْ وَآخِرَهُمْ, that in a way, with a voice that the first and the last of them, the highest and the lowest of them in Jannah, will hear. يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ, O people of Jannah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمُ الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً, O people of paradise, Allah has promised you al-husna, excellence, which is paradise, and more. فَالْحُسْنَى, as for al-husna, it is al-jannah. فَالْحُسْنَى, al-jannah. وَزِيَادَةً, النَّظَرُ إِلَى وَجْهِ الرَّحْمَنِ. And ziyada, and more, is looking at the face of the Most Merciful. So being able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more. Subhanallah, is even more than anything that Jannah has. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be amongst those that gaze upon the face of our Lord day and night in paradise, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Lastly, inshallah ta'ala, what I want to do is actually compare something that stuck out to me. The end of Surah At-Tawbah and the end of Surah Yunus. So Surah At-Tawbah is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the height of his power, in a way that he has the ability to exact revenge on those people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still acts with a high level of character, nobility. And it is a warning to those that have destabilized and disbelieved and plotted from within and without. And it's also an invitation to repentance, right? Surah Yunus is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his lowest point, being mocked, being in a place of extreme vulnerability, and being put down, alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the way that Allah talks about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam at the end of each surah. Literally at the end of each surah, Allah has something about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is such a hard verse to translate. There has come to you a messenger of Allah from amongst yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. The Prophet ﷺ is distressed. He is hurt by that which hurts you, by that which you encounter. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. And the Prophet ﷺ is so dedicated to your welfare, to your well-being, right? In this life and in the next. He cares so much about you, your well-being in this life and in the next. It pains him when you are pained, and your well-being gives him well-being, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It makes him happy. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And he is tender and merciful and compassionate to those that believe, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he has a special place, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people, the believers, have a special place with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. If they turn away from you, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then say to them, Allah is sufficient for me. There is no God but He. In Him I have put my trust, and He is the Lord of the mighty throne. The dua that we say day and night, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the tone in Surah At-Tawbah, right? Like, you know, if you haven't recognized it now, recognize how much this man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is merciful to you and how invested he is in your well-being. And if you turn away, then all he can say is Hasbi Allah. All he can say is Allah is sufficient for me. At the end of Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, there has come to you the truth from your Lord. The truth has come to you from your Lord. فَمَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. SubhanAllah, it's the same tone, but it fits the theme of Surah Yunus, that truth has come to you from your Lord. So this is about you at the end of the day. You have to accept this for your own well-being. Whoever follows the true guidance does so for their own good, and whoever strays, then that straying is to their own detriment. And I cannot be a guardian over you. As much as I love you, I can't be your guardian. SubhanAllah. So then the last two verses of Surah Yunus match the last two verses of Surah Tawbah. The last verse of Surah Yunus then says, وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And follow, O Messenger of Allah, what has been revealed to you, and remain patient until Allah brings forth His judgment. He is the best of those who judge. So the last two verses of Surah At-Tawbah, a reminder of who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to the people, and then a reminder to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek help in Allah and be patient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both verses have the same messaging embedded within them, but that fits the theme of the surah. So subhanAllah, I just thought that it's a remarkable consistency, even though they're not revealed chronologically in order, that's the way Allah addresses us about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then addresses the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the people. So inshallah ta'ala, I'll hand it over, Sheikh Yasir, if you'd like to share any reflections on that. Tafadhal, Sheikhna.
Sure. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Well, as you were speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the connection really that you could see in the story of Yunus and building that all the way with the connection with Surah At-Tawbah, as you can see, there's a theme over here, which is about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam credibility. And that is one of the major things that the Quran came with, obviously, especially the Mecca Quran, since Surah Yunus is Mecca Quran. And in the Mecca Quran, there are three major themes that revolves around. Number one is Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about Tawheed in all its aspects, obviously. And number two, Ithbat al-Ma'ad, speaking about the resurrection and the day of judgment, and people are going to be standing before the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, they shall be answering for what they have done and so on. And number three, the credibility of the messenger. Like, this is the message. Now, who is delivering that message to you? He is the messenger that you all know. So to establish the credibility of the message is also dependent on the establishment of the credibility of the messenger, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many different formats, like you described, you know, earlier. So in the ayah that you quoted, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to the people of Mecca about who the man is, Who's your man? He said, "Subhanak, faqad labithtu fikum umra. I've been living with you for long enough to recognize me, to know me, really, right?" So eventually, Allah is telling them that He is the same man that you all testify for His truthfulness. You called Him a Sadiq al-Amin. So why would He change if this would be the case right now? That's one thing. And then the akhlaq of the manners of the Prophet afterwards. And just like you said about the end of Surah At-Tawbah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His akhlaq, His manners, and who He was to them. So all of this to establish the credibility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because once you realize the carrier is trustworthy, the messenger is trustworthy, why would the message be a lie or be false? So that is something extremely important, the establishment of the credibility of the messenger, which is why a lot of the Arabs, you know, and even today, subhanAllah, still, they're going after the messenger, not the message, because they don't dare criticize the message because it's too powerful to them to deny the truthfulness of the message. So they go at the soft target, the man, the human being, and they try to put all the weakness of human beings can be in the carrier, in the messenger. Once you establish that weakness, you realize, you see, so the message must be false. But definitely the Prophet ﷺ is way above what they say about him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message will remain, as he says, mahfuz, which is basically going to be preserved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the message and preserved the honor and the reputation of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
JazakAllah khair, Shaykhna. Tafadhal, Shaykh Abdullah.
MashaAllah. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. So, subhanAllah, as Sheikh Yasser was mentioning the message of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how the importance of recognizing who you are taking the message from and look at who he was and what he's done. And as we know, the Prophet sallallahu was called the Sadiq al-Amin, a Sadiq. He was a truthworthy person and he was a trustworthy individual. You could leave something with him and you wouldn't have to worry. And the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this message of Islam was exactly that. As the Sheikh mentioned as well, the portions of the Mekki verses pertaining to the Tawheed and the Ithbat al-Ma'ad, being the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true monotheistic belief, and the confirmation of the resurrection, that we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look in the chapter of Yunus, after the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ahwal, or the situation of those that associate partners with him unjustly, he then goes on to mention a question, or actually instruct all of us, but primarily the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and telling him what to say to the people. And some scholars mention that this could be considered a conditional sentence, and the sentence is as follows in chapter, the verse number 31 of chapter of Yunus, where it says, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل من يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أم من يملك السمع والأبصار ويملك السمع والأبصار وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to say to the people, Allah says, say, who provides for you from the heavens and the earth, or from the sky and the earth? And who controls the hearing and sight, and who brings the living out of the dead and brings the dead out of the living, and who arranges every matter? Then they will say, Allah. So say to them, do you not fear him? Are you not mindful of him? So this is, subhanAllah, dare we say, a rhetorical question, because it was known that the mushrikun, or the polytheists of Mecca, they believed that Allah, the creator, the maintainer, al-Khaliq al-Razik al-Mudabbir, the one that creates, provides, and has control of all affairs, the one that does these things that he mentions in this verse, they believed that it was the creator, Allah. So here we're going to go over, subhanAllah, these portions of the question. He says, مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, who provides from you from the earth, or from the sky and from the earth? So when we see the sky, we think the rain. What comes down from the sky is primarily, we would say, the rain, because the rain here, the pertinence of it or the relevance of it is with the ard. Because when the rain comes down, it therefore supplies the vegetation, the crops, everything that is needed to supply ourselves in a form of rizq, because that rizq can be in financial transactions of a barter system, or it could even be with what we eat. As we go to the produce section, that cannot take place except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing down the rain. And this is very, very important, because those of individuals that were farmers and that lived, they had to live on this. They had to rely on the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending down the rain from the sky. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and he says, أَمَّا يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ, and who controls and has authority over these two most important senses, the sam'a, the hearing, and abasar, the seeing, the vision. And some scholars mention that these are the primary elements that are used for Huda in regards to seeing and hearing, hearing the message and seeing the prophethood of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, seeing what he is doing or hearing about him. Who has ultimate control over that? Meaning that tasarrufat, meaning that how these senses are activated, how they are used, who has ultimate control over that? The one that can easily take it away. Then he asks, after that, وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. And he says, and who is the one that brings the living out of the dead and brings the dead out of the living? So many scholars have talked about what exactly is the living out of the dead. Being the living out of the dead, some scholars will say, okay, it is like the egg that comes out of the chicken or comes out of the animal. And some scholars will say, okay, it is the, subhanAllah, the human being when they're in the fetus in the womb of the mother before the soul is blown into them, that is considered mayyit. They are not alive yet because the soul hasn't been blown into them. As we know the hadith of the Prophet, there's a hadith of the Prophet where he mentions the stages of gestation, mentions the stages that فَيُنْفَخُ فِيهِ الرُّوح, after a certain amount of days, 40 days, that the ruh will be blown into the spirit will be blown into that fetus, and then the person will be considered alive. Even though they haven't been conceived as of yet, or you know, brought into this world as of yet, they will be considered alive. But before that, they are considered mayyit. They're considered, what we could say, lack of better words, dead or not living as at that moment. So some scholars would say that that is the living from the dead. And subhanAllah, when we see this life and death in Islam, particularly there are two stages, there's two forms of life and two forms of death. The scholars mention, subhanAllah, or is mentioned in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the chapter of Ghafir, verse number 11, where the ones that were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will say, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا فَهَلْ إِلَى خُرُوجٍ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. They will say, O our Lord, أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ, you have caused us to die twice. And the first death is when we were in the womb of our mother before the spirit of life was blown into us. And then the second death is the actual death of the human being, whereupon they are in the waiting period called the barzakh before the day of judgment. وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ, and you have given us two forms of life, being the life that we are living now in this physical world, but then the life, خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى, which is the afterlife. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in the afterlife in Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. So here we understand this concept of life and death. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask them, who is the one that is able to bring this out of that? Who has the capabilities of doing that? Then after that, he said, subhanAllah, he said, وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ. And on top of all of this, bringing the dead out of the living and the living out of the dead, as we see even with the land, the barren land comes from it, vegetation. Bringing all of this and the human being and all of these forms, which has the senses, who controls the senses, and who is the one that provides everything on this earth, مَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ. Being that he provides all of these things and brings it into existence, but maintains it, and brings it in synchrony and harmony, they will say Allah. And this is very important in regards to Tawheed, and I will conclude here. In regards to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Islam we have, the scholars have extracted what is called Tawheed, the monotheism, and they say there's primarily three categories, and some would say two, but most importantly, it's to understand what necessitates what. We as human beings have this, what is called a fitrah, the natural inclination and response to the presence of a deity, one deity. Now, the scholars say that there's something called Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. That is the lordness, oneness of his lordship, that he is the one that has control and authority over all of these characteristics of creation, of provision, of preservation, of forgiveness. He is the ultimate authority in all of these. With that knowledge of these characteristics of Allah, of God, the creator, that demands and requests something from you. It contains the fact that you knowing this, it requests for you to worship him alone. When you know that he is the one that brought you into this earth, why go to someone or something else that does not have that authority or power? And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed to bring that back to them, to show them that, look, you believe that Allah is the creator and the sustainer of all of these things. أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Are you not then mindful and fearful of the one that will take you away from this earth and ask you with his knowledge, subhanah, why did you turn and divert your thankfulness, your ultimate gratitude, your worship to other than him? And this technique, subhanAllah, in conclusion, you know, Taha ibn Ashur, he mentions in his beautiful tafsir, Tahrir wa Tanwir, he mentions that this sentence could be even considered a conditional sentence, basically saying, you know, ask them the question, if the one you know that was to do all of these things, to provide you with all of these things, what would you say? What would you say? They would say, Allah, فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَأْتَقُونَ. Then when understanding this, they will surely say Allah. The result of all of these things that they know, they will respond, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be their response. And this is even from a da'wah technique of telling people about Islam. You come with the universal aspects of what they all agree upon, that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer. With that reality, it necessitates from us that we understand and contains the fact that we should turn to Him alone. And that's why he asked the rhetorical question, do you not then fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Be mindful of Him. And the verb is at-taqwa, afala tattaqun. Just a reminder for all of us in this beautiful chapter, as we know that it is a chapter of taqrir al-tawheed, of reminding us of the importance of the oneness and the monotheistic belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has control and authority over all things, which by default, inshallah, necessitates that we should divert, or we should put all of our worship to Him alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that worship Him to the best of our ability with excellence, inshallah.
Amen. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Abdullah. Sheikh Yasser, tafadhal.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, baraka nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathira, thumma ma ba'd. And also my reflection on Surah Yunus is so many ayat, and the story itself is just so profound. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least when the surah was named Yunus, it's for a reason, because although Musa alayhi salam was mentioned there, Nuh was mentioned the surah as well too, but it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought something unique about Qawm Yunus, the people of Yunus, who are mentioned specifically here as the people of Yunus, that wasn't for any other nation before Yunus alayhi salam. And what is that? That is because the Qawm of Yunus, the people of Yunus, are the only people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them a prophet, whom after he left them, they believed. And that what Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned about them as something very unique in the ayah number 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if only there had been a society or a people which believed before seeing the torment, the adab, and therefore benefit from its belief, like the people of Yunus. قَالَ إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسْ آمَنُوا. They believed. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزِي. When they believed, we lifted from them the torment of disgrace. فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, in this life. وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينَ. And they also enjoyed for a while. Why is this so important? Because this message was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to deliver to the people of Mecca. And telling them that, listen, you're always going to have a chance. As long as I'm still around, you can still have a chance. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us it's all about believing in that message. And that message is what brings you that sense of relief and that sense of comfort. So with that being said, my main reflection on this is coming also from an ayah that was before. And this ayah of surah, the story of Yunus alayhi salam, was made as an example of the meaning of this ayah. So I would like to reflect on is ayah number 57 in Surah Yunus, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the message of the Quran. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas. He's speaking to mankind subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhan nas, qad ja'atkum maw'idhatun min rabbikum wa shifa'un lima fi as-sudur wa hudan wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts for us in this ayah four elements about the Quran, about the message itself. Like, what benefits do I get from the Quran? And what benefit do I get from this message? So he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhal nas, O mankind, O people. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظًا. جَاءَتْكُمْ, I mean, al-maji' in the Arabic language, when something comes to you. But this message doesn't really come to you in that fashion. So it's basically, it was delivered to you. This was given to you. And it has what? When it was given to you, just like a gift you got right now. You did not solicit that. You didn't ask for it. So we are gifting you with this. And that is the gift that is coming your way has these four major elements that we all need in this life. What are they? Number one, he says, قَالَ مَوْعِظَةً. مَوْعِظَةً, in the English translation really of the book, they say a warning. Well, I'd like to give it another meaning, but just let's go over the words first, and then we talk about, inshallah ta'ala, the meaning of these words. So the first thing was maw'idha, and you could say a reminder. Min rabbikum, from your Lord. Wa shifa'un lima fi sudur, healing or cure for that which is in the heart. Wa huda, guidance. Wa rahmatul mu'mineen, and mercy for the believers. What are these four things? Number one, we said maw'idha. So maw'idha usually is translated as warning. When you do maw'idha, it's like admonition. And when you admonish somebody, just like it, kind of like it's a form of punishment one way or another, or chastisement and so on, like a discipline in them. However, here maw'idha comes also in the meaning of tadhkira. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the Quran and the message to as tadhkira in many different ayat. Kalla innahu tadhkira, kalla innahu tadhkira. Indeed, it is tadhkira, it's a reminder for you. And reminder is a cure for what? The reminder is a cure for forgetfulness. The reminder is a cure for forgetfulness. Also, if you look at it as a warning, you say it's actually more like a wake-up call. And a wake-up call comes as a cure for what? For heedlessness. When we have ghafla, we're not paying attention, you need someone to remind you. You need someone to give you maw'idha, someone to hit you with a wake-up call. You might not like to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning. You might not want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? If there's something that you have to do, you're going to have to do. Yes, you may be resentful, but you accept it. You know, when your alarm starts, kind of like blasting in the darkness of the night because you have to wake up, whether it's for suhoor or you want to wake up for Fajr Salah, if you care, or if it's somebody because I have to go to work, you hate it. In that sense, but you know what? You just accept it and you take it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is like a wake-up call. We send you a wake-up call. Because as human beings, we're called in the Arabic language insan because we forget a lot. So it's like a lot of forgetfulness happens over here. And because there is so much forgetfulness, obviously, then we need to always have that kind of reminder to keep us awake all the time. So the Quran is more like a maw'idha. It's a reminder. It's a wake-up call. So you always stay alert. That's the point of it. To stay alert. Number one. Number two, he said, min rabbikum. Before that, he said, min rabbikum. So it's coming from your Lord. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Rabb, just like Sheikh Abdullah was talking about earlier, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's lordship, and he's providing for everything, because he is your Lord, so he cares. And because he's your Lord, he sustains that what is best, what is beneficial to you. And if he knows that this is most beneficial to you, he will give it to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what happens over here. He is giving that wake-up call. He wakes you up because he cares about you. He is sending you this message because he cares about you. You might not like some of these elements of this message, but you know what? It's for your own good. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says another ayah, as he mentioned in Surah Tabarak, قال, أَلَا يَعْلَوْ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ لَطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Who knows better than the one who created? Like, he knows best what is best for you because he created you, he made you. So he knows what is best for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a reminder for you and I, that from your Lord who really cares about you, that he needs you to do the right thing for yourself, inshallah ta'ala. Number one. Number two, he says, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. The word shifa means cure. And when we say cure, that's an answer to what? Illness and sickness. Okay, he says, لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Specifically, this is a healing and a cure for what's in the heart, in the chest, basically. And the reference in the Quran, usually when the Quran references the chest, basically, the sudur, usually, it means what's behind there, which means it's the heart itself. And when we talk about the heart, we're not talking necessarily about that piece of flesh itself as much as the functionality that comes from the heart itself, which is what? Your heart is where your intentions, you know, when you intend something, when you have a resolution on something, when you determine to do something, yes, you think about it, but you have to also, of course, you know, to have to a conviction. And that conviction is something that's in the heart for yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, saying, I'm sending you also a cure for all the illnesses that you might have in your heart, the weakness, the uncertainty, the anxiety, the fear, all these things. I'm giving you cure to this. All of this in the Quran, shifa'un lima fi sudur. So it could be those ill feelings and also the shubuhat. If you have any doubts, any wrong perception, any wrong conviction that you have your heart hold on to these things, you have, because they're not benefiting you anyway. Yes, you believe in these things, but they're not making you any good in your life. You're still feeling weak and anxious and not certain about it. We have sent you a shifa'un lima fi sudur, a cure to that which is in the heart. So whether it's something as ill feelings, hasad, ghiba, something as envy and so on, it will heal that because you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a higher purpose right now. So all these things will just go away. Lima fi sudur, number three. Qal wa huda, and guidance. Now when it comes to guidance, guidance is a cure for what? Or in response to what? Misguidance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wajadaka dhalan fahada. So he found you astray and he guided you. You were going the wrong direction, so he brought you the right direction. And why we need guidance for anyway? Because this life is a journey. We're born for a purpose. And if we don't serve that purpose, we are going to go astray. And if we go astray, we are not going to reach our destination. And obviously that means resentment. It's going to be depression. It's going to be a lot of things that happens in your life. Unpleasant events will happen in your life. So I need that divine GPS. And that's what guidance comes over here. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala beautifully, he describes the meaning of guidance since he was talking about Surah Al-Fatiha, which is what we always ask in Salah every single day, multiple times, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, guide us to the straight path. We ask Allah more often, frequently, because we don't want to get lost on this journey. And that's why the Quran is that divine GPS that gives you direction where to go, where not to go. Do this, don't do this. Stay here, don't approach this. Gives you the path, the straight path that leads you, inshallah, to success bidnillahi ta'ala in this world and in the hereafter. And Ibn Qayyim, he speaks about guidance. He has three kinds of guidance. There is hidayatun ila sirat, guidance to bring you to the straight path. And then guidance ala sirat, when you are on the sirat itself, you need to have guidance to remain on the sirat, not fluctuating and not dropping out. Because just because you're walking in this path doesn't mean you're going to stay there forever, unless, alhamdulillah, you have confirmation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this and that constant guidance to stay on the sirat. And also, I need hidayatun fi sirat. I need guidance through the path as well. Why? Because I need to keep going. I need to keep going forward. So I need constant reminders and constant, you know, directions to keep going into the right path, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the Quran is also guidance that brings you to the right path, to stay on it and to go through it, inshallah, through with success, bidnillahi azza wa jal. And the last point here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the Quran, he says, قَالَ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and it's a mercy for the believers. What does that exactly mean? When we look for mercy, what is the opposite of mercy? Torture, torment, really. And subhanAllah, that is the essence of the Quran. It's rahmah. If you don't have the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, you know, if you don't have the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, which is the Quran over here, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. If someone turns away from my dhikr, my reminders, my Quran, my message, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, this person shall live a life of constraint, a life of hardship. Maybe not physically, they might be wealthy and rich, but subhanAllah, they can't even enjoy it. Because it's not benefiting at all. But the Quran brings that rahmah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, those who have faith and their hearts find peace and tranquility through the dhikr of Allah, which is the Quran here, and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ala bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Through the remembrance of Allah, these hearts will find peace and tranquility. That rahmah comes in place of that adab. And that rahmah, that mercy, that comes in the place of this hardship, and also it brings that peace and tranquility in your hearts and in your life. After all of this, these four elements that Allah spoke about in the Quran, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a reminder, a wake-up call against heedlessness and being, you know, always asleep. Number two, having healing in the heart from the illness of ignorance, of desires, and also of the shubuhat and doubtful matters. Number three, guidance against going astray. And number four, having rahmah and mercy against all the torture that might go through our life, the hardship we go through into our lives. All of this, Allah concluded in the following ayah, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ, say to them, Ya Muhammad, in Allah's grace and His mercy, let them rejoice. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مَا يَجْمَعُونَ. They should rejoice in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings of Allah that He bestowed upon them, not what they hoard, what they collect in this dunya. So subhanAllah, if you look at this ayah, it's a summary really for all what you need to know about the Quran and how the Quran can be truly so beneficial to you in this dunya before even thinking about the akhirah. Why do I need the Quran for? Why do I need this guidance for? This is it. It's a wake-up call to always keep you alert and always attentive. It gives you, alhamdulillah, healing to what bothers you in your heart. It gives you guidance when you feel astray. On that journey, you need guidance. So you have the guidance, alhamdulillah. And it gives you that sense of peace and tranquility. Even if you go through hardship, you still can find that peace, that peace and tranquility. Inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala.
Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. Barakallah feekum. Very, very apt tie-in of all of the different aspects of the Qur'an. It's probably just made me think, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. This Qur'an was not revealed to you to cause you distress. And by extension, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are, where would we be without this book, subhanAllah? Where would we be? Like, truly, you know, I just got shivers thinking about, like, where would we be if we didn't have the guidance of this book? And it's the way Allah gave it to us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not like full of technical legal details in a way that it could get lost, right? Like those things, there's very little legal detail in the Quran. Most of it is elaborated on in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a constant reflection and reminder that comes through the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and reward you. Sheikh Abdullah, you have any reflection?
No, mashallah, mashallah. Very, very, very nice. You said it, mashallah.
Allah barik. SubhanAllah, I mean, honestly, those who would like to receive the powerful as an advice for those who would like to see, especially in Ramadan, a more powerful reminders from the Quran, focus on the Makki surahs. The Madani surahs gives you details about the Akhirah, about, you know, reward and about, you know, the A'mal and the deeds, and also gives you a sense of history of what was going on in the Medinan society. You know, speaking about Surah Al-Anfal, for example, has the story of the Battle of Badr. In Surah Al-Imran, you have the story of Uhud, for example. Also talks about, you know, the relationship with the people of the book and so on. But those who would like to have a strong wake-up call, like you need a strong shot of wake-up call, just like espresso, right? You want a double shot of it. Yes. You need to recite and read the Makki surahs because they're indeed so powerful. The message is just, subhanAllah. And that's why I always give advice to people whenever they want to ask some of their friends or non-Muslims to read the Quran. I said, hey, let them read some of the Makki Quran. That is really is a strong wake-up call, and it shakes people, subhanAllah, to the core. SubhanAllah. Allah.
JazakAllah khair, Shaykh. Allah yabarak feekum. Before I let you go, Shaykh, I have to ask you this question. It's been bugging me.
Allah yastah.
When COVID broke out, who did you miss more, me or Sheikh Abdullah?
Oh,
that's not fair. I missed you both, man. I missed you both a lot. But here's the thing. Let's be honest. First of all, when this hit me, really, I was closer to Sheikh Abdullah in terms of neighborhood. Right? Now I'm close to you. So back then I missed him more. Now probably I miss you more.
Political answer, right?
If you look at SubhanAllah, we all did a fundraiser for my masjid, Islamic Center of Coppell. That was right when it hit you. If you remember, you were coughing, like, excuse me. That's right when it was.
I didn't know what was going on, but I thought it was happening tomorrow.
A COVID, he did a fundraiser for your masjid while he had COVID. If that's not love, I don't know what love is. Fundraiser even with COVID, so
that answers your question. Khalas. I mean, that's
there you go.
All right, inshallah, I'll accept it. But I get to see Sheikh Yasser every night, Sheikh Abdullah. So thanks for that. You, pleasure to have you, and a reminder to everyone, inshallah ta'ala, to please download the ebooks, the Quran 30 for 30 companion guide, the ebook on a dua a day by Sheikh Tahar Wyatt, and also to please consider donating to Yaqeen Bidnillahi Ta'ala so that we can continue to embark on this prophetic mission together, Bidnillah, and continue to produce free resources. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We want to really concentrate on the new Muslim experience, the convert experience. How would we explain it to someone that just newly converted to Islam?